Seated. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Second Chronicles 22, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. He walked also after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians smote Joram. And he returned to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given him at Ramah when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel, because he was sick. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. And he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him, because, said they, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeat, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeat, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. And he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So the chickens come home to roost, as it were. We have a very literary chapter. It shows some literary flair in that, at the risk of confusion, all of these names are put in a mishmash together so that we will understand that at this point in Judah's history, they are very little different from Israel and their Baal worship. The names of their monarchs are the same. Because these two families, these two houses have come together, and remember who started it all, good King Jehoshaphat, who was naive. And so now we see two generations later, the same mistakes being perpetrated again, but now even with the mingling of the religions of the northern and southern kingdom. And so, beloved, we have a chapter where I think the author is intentionally speaking in such a way to show us that Judah had stopped remaining dedicated to the Lord her God and was willing, for the sake of ecumenicism and common cause with the northern kingdom, join herself with idolatry. And so that's what happens here. All right, so we have several things that are mentioned. The chapter is pretty straightforward. It doesn't need a lot of explanation, but there are a couple of things that I think are important to take note of that may be a little bit more subtle. All right, so we have heard, haven't we, that there was a band of Philistines and other Arabians that came into Jerusalem, and they killed all of the king's sons except the youngest one, right? And there was a great slaughter, and then much of the stuff, the goods of the house of the king and the house of the Lord were carried out, such that some Old Testament scholars see this as a precursor to what happened to at the time of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. It wasn't a total destruction, however, but it was a decimating destruction. Not the same as 586, but still very difficult for the land. Remember that that Joram died, and they buried him not in the city of David. He died by reason of these horrible sicknesses, right? And so we have this young son of his, the youngest son, Ahaziah. In that he is the youngest son and he becomes king, we see judgment already. It's normally the oldest son that is king, right? There is some judgment there. And he began to reign, and who did he marry? He married Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. Well, she's not really the daughter of Omri. She's the daughter of Ahab. Yet she's called the daughter of Omri because it was Omri that arranged the wedding of his son Ahab and the Phoenician princess Jezebel. The house of Omri was a wicked house, one of the three dynasties in the northern kingdom, and this one full of ignominy for its introducing Baal worship. And so Athaliah is called the daughter of Omri here because the sins that she brings are stretched all the way back to her grandfather, Omri, and his association with Ethbaal, right? That was Jezebel's father. And so through an alliance with that nation over which Ethbaal was the monarch, you have the princess Jezebel being married to the prince Ahab as an unholy alliance. That's the house of Omri. And so Athaliah is called the daughter of Omri. Notice he, that is Ahaziah, son of Joram, that he is said to walk after the house of Ahab because his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. So Ahaziah then was the son of Athaliah, and she was his counselor to do wickedly. She was married to Jehoram. Hard to get all the family lines right, but that's what's going on here. So he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. Notice they were his counselors, not just Jezebel, but Jezebel and the house of Ahab. Not just Athaliah, but those descendants, right? Okay, so Ahab has a son. His name is Jehoram. Same name as the father of Ahaziah. And so when Ahab's son Jehoram goes out to Ramoth-Gilead to fight against Hazael and the Syrians, that sound familiar? Yeah, that's exactly what Ahab did. And when Jehoshaphat went to see him, what does Ahaziah do when he comes back from that battle wounded, when Jehoram comes back from that battle wounded? He goes to see him and to comfort him. Why? Because, you know, we're brothers. We have common family here. We have a common religion here. Well, the Lord had raised up a judge and soon to be king of the northern kingdom, a man named Jehu, the son of Nimshi. And Jehu, let me put it this way, Jehu never met an arrow he didn't like. And so he dispatches Ahaziah and he dispatches Jehoram, both of those men, Jehoram first, Ahaziah second. It was Ahaziah's league with Jehoram that was his destruction, according to this chapter, right? And to the destruction of Ahaziah, and it was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab, or the house of Omri. Okay, so we see that he hunted him down and he killed him. So now Israel is without a king. Sorry, Judah is without a king. So is Israel, but Jehu steps into that role. The southern kingdom is without a king. Athaliah sees this as her opportunity. And so what she thinks she's doing is she kills all of the seed of David. You have to understand what kind of a crime that is. She believes that she's killing all of the seed of David. That is, there ain't going to be no Messiah to this house. No one left to carry the promise of God made to David. So she believes that she has killed all of the seed royal, but she doesn't know Jehovah at all, because his promises never fall to the ground. And so there's another woman. Notice these two women are juxtaposed against each other in this passage. This often happens, for instance, in Proverbs 1 through 9. We have the woman and the anti-woman. So we have the woman and the anti-woman here. We have the woman of faith and the woman of folly. Right? So Athaliah, the woman of folly, believes that she can become the queen mother, and not just the queen mother, but the queen regent, the reigning queen, by doing what? By killing all of those who might become king after the death of her son. Jashabiath takes her life into her own hands and finds one among those little boys. He's just a baby. What's his name? His name is, I don't remember. I should remember, but I don't. All the sons of Jehoram, Azariah, the son of Obed. Well, that little boy that will remain nameless at this point, Joash, thank you. I kept wanting to say Jehoiada, but that's the high priest. Joash is his name. And Joash is there as a baby, and they hide him in the temple of God, the most underused or disused building in the realm at that point, because Athaliah is reigning as queen. Right? And so he has the protection of the Levites, who are the keepers of the house, and he also has Jashabiath, who is married to the high priest Jehoiada, and is also the sister of Ahaziah, who has been slain by Jehu, and so she is his auntie. And so she takes him and hides him, unbeknownst to Athaliah, in a bedchamber, in a place where Athaliah will never think to look for him. And so she is indeed a faithful woman, the wife of the high priest. Remember that high priests were commanded to marry those who were faithful in those days. Well, we find that that Jehoiada married well. He found himself a brave woman that was perhaps of the royal line, but also of the Levitical line. He could not marry outside of that line. And so he marries Jashabiath, and she hides Joash in that chamber in the house of God. And the chapter ends that there is a six-year hiatus. We're waiting for Joash to become of years, so that he might be placed in authority. So it is 6 years that they care for him. Sometimes we must wait long in doing good before we see the fruit of our goods, right? Okay, with that then, let's